Let us all say amen. You know, you can't sing that song unless you really believe that there's some place better than this place. And church, and I'm learning that there is some place better. And you know, Jesus made me a promise. John chapter 14. You know, the words that they usually say at a funeral, those are words to remind me that one day I'm going to give up the ghost and he's going to prepare a place for me. It's already prepared. I just got to make sure I get there. And you know what? I made up my mind.
Yes, sir.
I can get there with you. I can get there on my own.
Yes, sir.
And you know, and when you have that kind of mindset, church, don't nothing stop you in your Christian walk. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I'd have never told you. Jesus says, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And church, it's things like that that motivates me, that drives me to a higher plateau in my Christian walk. It is things like that that reminds me that one day death is going to knock on my door. And I don't want you to cry for me, but you need to might cry for yourself, because I'm going to do just like Peter said. I'm going to make my calling an election sure. And he says, if you do these things, what things? If you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Anybody remember where you came from?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, I remember where I came from. Paul said I was chief among sinners I first made. Amen. Amen. And when you understand who's cleaned you up and have given you a second chance in life, you know, sometimes I think we might need to really experience death and stay here. Maybe that might change our mindset, our attitude. Paul would say to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and round about verse number 1, words that encourage me, that reminds me that if I stay on track, if I stay with the word of God, God has a place prepared for me that no one can take from me. I've had some things taken from me. Huh? You can't take my salvation if you want to. And that's what motivates me, to know that I got a guarantee from God himself. If I remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, no matter how many times I mess up, if I fess up and get up and do the will of the Father, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. Well, I can't get a guarantee in America like that. Because the guarantee goes out before you go. Amen. Look at what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. He says, for if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And verse number 2 is the one we don't understand. And you know why I know we don't understand it? Because of the way we live our lives on this time side of life. Paul says, for in this we groan and earnestly desire to be clothed upon which our house, which is from heaven. Paul says here, I'm ready to die. Because Paul knew that as long as I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. And Paul says that in this body, we earn and we mourn and we groan. What do you mourn and groan for? Another slice of pie? Bigger piece of something. What do you moan and groan for? More wealth? No, Paul says that in this house, we moan and we groan to be clothed with a house that's not made with hands. And church, and I'm learning that when you get to that stage in your life, boy, you just have a hallelujah good time all the year round. As this year draws to a close, like I said, we've been in this text for 11 months and 22 days and Oh, yeah. See, when you can count down the times of where you're at, church, that's when you understand who you really belong to. And as this year draws to a close, I just want to encourage your heart and to remind you that as ambassadors of Christ, God has placed up on you and I the salvation of mankind. That's right. Because we have obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and been buried in water for the remission of our sins because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And because of that, Paul says, now that you're in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled. I've been reconciled. Amen. And when you're reconciled, boy, you act like you're reconciled. Amen. All of us sitting here this morning came out of the cesspools of immorality because God loved us so much, he gave the very best of heaven to reconcile you back to his Father. And then with a straight face, you got the nerve to give God whatever you want to give him. That don't sound like you're reconciled. I'm learning. Y'all quiet. Don't get quiet on me, because if you get quiet, I'll stay right there on that nerve for a while. You know, and you know how you get on a nerve and sometimes you have to move. Y'all better move. You better move. I'll stay right there. But church, that's not the message this morning. The message is, what are you going to do with what we have studied for the past 11 months? What are you going to do now that you really understand that you are an ambassador for Christ? In this lesson text here, Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. And so as ambassadors of Christ, we are God's chosen people. We have a message that the world needs to hear. And that message is, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and are willing to be buried in water for the remission of your sin, you have the right to the tree of life. And that's what motivates me, is to know that the God of heaven could look down the court of time and really have his focus on me as he did on the rest of the world. And church, I want to encourage you this morning, as ambassadors of Christ, screw your wig on. Screw your wig on. Because this thing sometimes gets a little difficult to handle. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, Paul says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If he ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. Verse number 12 says, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing is happen to you. Paul says, if you're going to live in this world, you got to be ready for some things. And I'm learning that if you're going to live with Jesus Christ, not everybody going to like you. Amen. Because see, when you start pointing out error, amen, you know, we have a tendency to sway from the truth. But this morning, my message is to help us to see that as ambassadors of Christ, we're also in bonds. I want to show you this morning that as an ambassador of Christ, there's some things that you understand in your Christian walk. I want to use a backdrop for this particular lesson in Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I challenge you that as this year draws to a close, raise some questions about your spiritual walk with the Lord. And if it hasn't been what God requires of you, and don't measure yourself by yourself, but measure yourself by the word of God. That's why James said, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a world which is full of spots? Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, where your delight? I know it's getting close to 12 o'clock and I know some of our stomachs are saying, my delight is getting something in it. But where is your delight this morning? The psalmist said, it's in his law I meditate day and night. And I'm learning, church, that when you be still and learn for what thus saith the Lord, man, Satan takes off. He can't stay around you if you stay with the word of God. He can't stay around you if you have the mindset to do what God requires of you. But if you are tiptoeing through the tulips or on the fence, guess what? He's gonna always be around you. That's right. Matthew chapter 4, when he tried to tempt our Lord and Savior, Jesus said, it is written three times. And I'm learning on the third time, he takes off. Why? Because he cannot handle the word of God. And so Paul, in our lesson text this morning, says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My fight has never been with you. Amen. Amen. My fight is not with the people in the world. My fight is to keep myself in a spiritual alignment with the Lord. But you can't do that. Drop it in and drop it out. You can't do that picking it up when you feel like picking it up. No, I'm learning that the word of Christ has to dwell in you. That word D-W-E-L-L means take up residence. I don't just go home. I dwell in that house. Yes, and so if you come in and you don't like the way it looked, you don't live there. Amen, Walt. I live in my house. That's what he said the word of God ought to do. And when the word of God is in you, guess what? You learn how to smile. You learn how to be happy. You learn how to be joyous. You forgive folks that mistreat you and misuse you. I talk to the wall. Y'all don't have to talk to me this morning. Because, church, I'm learning that in the midst of my Christian walk, it never depends on you. I love my wife and my family dearly, but it depends on me. Galatians chapter 2 and round about verse number 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but the Christ lives in me. And the life that I also live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 says, do I frustrate the grace of God? And I challenge you to go home and look at verse number 21 and ask yourself a question. Do I frustrate God? If we frustrate one another, I know good and well we frustrate the Lord. And I'm learning how to not frustrate him. It's to walk in the light as he's in the light. I'm learning to do what he commands me to do. And I know that when you do that, you're going to have some problems. Amen. But like Paul said in the book of Philippians, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Why? Because Paul knows it is in the gospel that he has salvation and nothing or no one can hinder him. See, Paul was an ambassador in bonds. And I'm going to show you this morning that when things got rough, we talked about that this morning. When things got rough in Paul's life, he didn't depend on Paul. He trusted in God that would deliver him. And if you don't believe me, you go and look at Paul's missionary journeys. Philippian jailer, you in jail, shackled between a quadrant of soldiers in the dungeon, and you singing and praising the God of heaven. Why? Because you trust him. He's going to deliver you. And church, sometimes in our prisons, amen. Every single one of you got a prison this morning, whether you know it or not. And in that prison, who do you really depend upon? And I'm learning that when you depend upon God, God will not only bring you out of the prison, he might make you manager over the prison. I don't know who you serve. But that's who I serve. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. I don't know how people make it through the course of the day without giving God what's due him. Amen. I'm guilty, but I'm learning. If I'm going to make it through the day, I got to give God what's due him. Amen. Even when you sit down to eat, get the french fry out of your mouth and give him the glory that's due him first. I'm learning, church, the only way you do that is you got to bathe yourself with the word of God. Paul says in verse number 14, stand therefore having your loins girded about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. I don't have time to talk about that verse there, but that verse there says that when I take the shield of faith, Satan can't touch me. You want to know why he's always hanging out at your house? Where's your shield? Oh, I should have brought the shield, Nicholas, this morning. Where's your shield? Because, see, when you take the shield of faith, You understand that Satan can't mess with you as long as you're studying and meditating and applying the word of God in your everyday life. Verse number 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for supplication for all the saints. See, our job is to watch out for one another. Our job is to encourage and to motivate one another. We're so wrapped up in the world, we know more about what's going on in Washington than we do what's going on in Apple Valley. Ooh, y'all quiet. I must be on the right nerve there. Because, church, we have a responsibility. That's right. I ain't even got into the lesson. I hope y'all ain't in no hurry, because I'm going to preach this. I got one more Sunday on the ambassador. But this one here is important to me. Because Paul here says that as believers, we put on this armor, and the purpose of this armor is to help us to withstand against Satan and the world in which we live in. And he tells us and he shows us that everything we put on is designed to move us forward. Ain't got no back plate. God's got my back. Amen. I don't know who got yours, but I know who got mine. Amen. And so in my weakest moment, I can cry out, Abba, Father, and guess what? He's attentive to my hearing. Yes. Verse number 19, Paul says, and for me. How many of y'all pray for me? Amen. That I might speak boldly. That's right. We live in a world that where God don't mean much. Amen. And it's sad to say that even amongst God's people, it don't mean much. But if you go in that Old Testament, you will find out when God's people didn't listen to the voice of God. God told Samuel, give the people what they want. Uh-huh. They haven't rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. And church, and I'm learning it's so easy to reject the Lord of your life. All you have to do is get wrapped up in you. That's right. And you'll start rejecting the Lord. Paul says, and for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to. Jesus said, many are called, only a few are chosen. Yes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, why would you call me Lord, Lord? No. And do not the things I command you. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I'm glad it's clicking up here. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, in that day, many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name did many wonderful works? And he said, depart, I never knew you. So as this year draws to a close, I want to remind us as true ambassadors in bonds, we are bound to stay with the one that has called us out of darkness into a marvelous life. We are bound to do his will. And I'm learning that when we do his will, nothing can hinder us on this time side of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Paul would write these words to this young gospel preacher, reminding him and encouraging him and helping him to see what's truly important on this time side of life. He tells this young gospel preacher, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. And see, and you don't think you in a war, do you? Oh yeah, we're in a serious war. You got a war going on inside of you right now. Whether the spiritual man gonna supersede the physical man. The spiritual man says, Stan, you got 10 minutes, it's time to eat. The spiritual man says, I got food that you know not of. I'm giving you the bread of life that is able to save your soul. And I know, I hear you saying, I don't need it right now, but there's going to be a day. Oh, yes. He said, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. And we're going to give account to everything that's done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says in verse number 11 of that text, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want to persuade somebody this morning that if you don't know that Jesus is the Son of God, I just stop by to tell you he's the Lord of lords and kings of kings. He died on the cross to reconcile you back to his Father. And I got a message this morning. That message is, if you don't know him, you're going to have an opportunity to come out of darkness into a marvelous light. And I'm glad I have him as the Savior and not somebody else. Paul says to Timothy, the things that you have seen and heard in me, commit thou to faithful men. Verse number 4, he says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Did you hear what I said? God chose you to be a soldier. And then he says in verse number 5, and if a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, you're not going to get the crown unless you stay on the right track. And church, I came by this morning just to remind us, encourage us. As ambassadors in bonds, we understand who we are. We understand the responsibility that's been handed down to us because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only do we understand the responsibility, we understand it because we have a relationship. That's right. I got a relationship with my wife. And I got a relationship with my God that when she can't help me, I can cry out, Abba, Father, and he's right there for me. That's right. And see, when you understand the relationship you have, you don't have to fuss and fight. You don't have to complain. You really don't have to say much or nothing. Y'all quiet. Do I need to take time and do some counseling on relationships? But when you have the right relationship with God, nothing else matters on this time side of life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and round about verse number 12, I want to show you that as ambassadors in bonds, we have to understand that there are some things we're going to suffer. Paul tells Timothy, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul reminds the believer, because you've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. But the key is, will you give God the glory in the midst of the persecution? Or will you fold under the pressure of the persecution? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and round about verse number 15, I want to show you something about the Apostle Paul. Paul on many occasions had to prove who he was, because he was the one that killed folks in the church prior to his conversion in Acts chapter 9. But Paul constantly had to prove himself to those individuals and remind those individuals that he's obeyed from the heart the gospel and God has set him apart to preach and to teach the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at Paul and his attitude. Paul says in verse number 22, are they a Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Paul said, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundantly, in stripes, more measured, in prison, more frequently, in death, often. Paul says, because I love the Lord, guess what? A whole lot of things happen to me. See, we get upset over trials and tribulations that have nothing to do with the Lord. Amen. I'm showing you an individual here that suffered because of the cross, the cause of Christ. The Bible says in verse 25, thrice I was beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the boy. I don't know. I probably get this thing up. But it's powerful. Because it lets me to know that no matter what transpired, if I stay with the Lord, he going to see me through it. Church, that's the message. He says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in prayers of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, by perils of heathens, by perils in the city, by perils of the wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul here shows a recipe that in the midst of everything that he went through, Paul said, it doesn't matter. Why? Oh, y'all looking at me funny. I got the Bible for it. Philippians chapter 3
See, Paul understood something about who Jesus Christ was. And what I'm trying to get us to see is we need to understand what you have obeyed. You've obeyed from the heart the gospel. Guess what? No free check anymore. You got to get busy and work out your soul salvation. Paul reminds the believer that because you've obeyed from the heart the gospel, it's something you need to do. Paul here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, indeed, to me indeed is not grievous, but it's safe for you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the conscientious. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said, it's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus Christ that is in me. Look at what he says in verse number 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and if any man thinks that he has whereof him might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul here said, let me give you some background of who I am. Because some of us think we all are in a bag of chips, don't we? No, you don't have to tell me. Your attitude tells me. Your mindset tells me. But Paul here says, if anybody got some bragging rights, Paul said, I got some. Look at what he says. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law. Paul said, I was blameless. But Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those things I count them loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung that I might win Christ. And I like the next few verses because Paul shows me that in order for me to make heaven my home, I got to have the right mindset. Church, I'm learning that no matter what transpires, God's always in control. Amen. And we should never be out of control. And the reason we're out of control is because we really don't know who's in control. Look at what he says, verse number 9. And Paul says, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, or some of us are so righteous, maybe not here. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, my heart desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness have went about to establish their own righteousness. Anybody here got some right? Never mind. Don't raise your hand. And have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Paul says, not been being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is in God by faith. Verse number 10, Paul says, that I might know him. For the past couple weeks, we've been dealing with this N-O-W. Paul says, I want to know him. How many of y'all really want to know him? Don't raise your hand yet, because you better look at the rest of this text. Because Paul said, I want to know Jesus Christ. How do you want to know him, Paul? Well, let him talk. And I want to know the power of the resurrection. In order to rise, you got to die. The power of the resurrection. Church, you know, when you went in this watery grave, God raised you to be the best of heaven. You did not know that? Well, y'all need to start reading some of this fine print. When you came up out of this watery grave, you have been resurrected to a brand new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship. He ain't talking about beans and chicken. No, he's not. He's talking about the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. See, it's easy to talk this game. But when the rubber meets the road, are you really ready to suffer for the cause of Christ? The Bible says when he was reviled, neither did he open his mouth. That's right. He committed himself to him that was faithful. And on the cross, he said, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Paul says, and I want to know the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. Boy, do you understand what that means? That means if you're going to stand up for Jesus,
You're going to have to fellow. You're going to have to suffer some things. Not only does he say, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering, I want to be made conformable unto his death. Is that what you really want to do? Because it's not just mere words. It is really doing what thus saith the Lord. Paul says, I am an ambassador in these bonds. And I want to encourage you as this year draws to a close. As ambassadors in bonds, understand what God has called you to do. Stay faithful. Stay on the right track. And how do you do that? Is by not allowing Satan to take the upper hand. I'm learning that in order for me to understand that I'm an ambassador in bonds, I got to understand some things. And church, and I'm learning that because I am bound to the Lord, I believe and I know the God of heaven. I don't know about you. I know who he is. Acts chapter 8 and round about verse number 37. Philip, as he joins himself to the Ethiopian eunuch, he teaches Jesus to this eunuch. And as they go down the road, the eunuch says to Philip, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Philip says, you can be baptized if you believe. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stop and he baptized him. Yes. Church, I'm learning, do you really know him? See, because when you know who's in control, you stay in control. That's right. Not only should we know who he is, church, we ought to really understand something. When you know him, it requires something. It requires obedience to his will. That's right. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, a new commandment. Nope, that's not it. Thank you, brother. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. The second is like the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. See, that's what obedience means. That when you mistreat and misuse me, I love you, agape. Why? Because God so loved the world. He gave him. He gave him for me. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. And not only will you be obedient to the will of the Father, guess what? You'll never surrender your will. I'm learning, church, that Satan can be all over me. But as long as I understand the will of the Father, what can Satan do to me? He can't do nothing. And guess what? That fella has no say-so. None whatsoever. Amen. In my life. And you know, because he has no say-so in my life, guess what? I'm confident about my salvation. I know where I'm headed. Amen. I'm going to make heaven my home. If they want to go, let's go. If you don't want to go, see ya. And it is personal. Amen. 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 It is personal. I plan to make heaven my home. So therefore, I have confidence about my salvation. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what motivates me, to know that the God of heaven could choose little old me. And then he allows me to give you some stuff he gives me. Oh, I was up about 2 o'clock this morning. This stuff started flowing. I'm saying, Lord, you know you good. Sister Harmon over there asleep, but I said, Lord, you know you good. I can walk through the house and everybody's at peace. I can look out the door and it's peace. I don't know who you serve, but I serve a God that says, if you trust me, I'll make even your enemies be at peace. Church, that's who we serve. I want to encourage you. We have 216 hours left in the rest of this year. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I don't know about you. It's examination time. It's whether or not I've been doing what he commands me or I have fallen short. And don't sit there and fool yourself, because God knows that you know that he knows that I know that you know whether or not you've been doing what God says. And if you haven't been doing what God says, repent.
It's just that simple. See, what's going to keep most of us out of heaven? It's not the big things. It's the little things. Not repenting of our sins because we've fallen short of the glory of God. Finally, our buns. It's evidence to the world of who we say we are. These bonds does not hinder us. Matter of fact, these bonds make us stronger, make us steadfast. It makes us unmovable. The bonds that we have in Christ Jesus, guess what? It's freed us from the world in which we live in. That's why Paul would say to the church in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, because we're in Christ, we're free. That's right. I don't know about you. I act like a free person. You know why? Because I know who's in control. Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Those of you that are members of the body of Christ and have fallen short of the glory of God, I want to encourage you to repent and get on the right track. Why? Because it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. Those of you that are visiting this morning, hope I've said something to encourage your heart. Hope I presented the message in the spirit of love as I try to. Because my job is to be concerned about the souls of men. I love each and every one of you. But you know what? Love is a demonstration. Love is something that we must show. And when we do that, the world we live in, it'll change. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, new commandment I give unto you is that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. Visiting and having obeyed the gospel, you've heard the gospel this morning. The question is, are you ready to obey? Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father. The message is yours. The opportunity is yours as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.